Imagine you're on a corporate board, right? You're tasked with protecting the interests of these minority shareholders. A controlling shareholder, though, wants to buy everyone out,
Oh,
but
bet.
their offer feels kind of off, you know? So you push back, but they subtly threaten a hostile takeover at a lower price.
Ooh.
What do you do? Do you cave?
That's a tough one.
That's the dilemma at the heart of this Conn v. Lynch case, the landmark Delaware case. It really redefined, I think, how we think about fairness in these mergers and acquisitions.
Entire fairness.
So we're going to dive deep into this case today using legal briefs, court opinions, expert analysis, all to understand its nuances. We'll unpack that concept of entire fairness. We'll explore the limitations of independent committees and
Absolutely.
just examine really the lasting impact of this decision on M&A law.
This is a big one.
It is.
What's really fascinating here is that this case kind of unfolds against this backdrop of like rapidly evolving technology. It's 1986. And Lynch Communication Systems, they're eager to acquire this cutting-edge fiber optic technology.
Wow, so we're talking really early days.
Early days. But they already have this controlling shareholder, Alcatel USA. They're holding a 43.3% stake.
Oh, wow.
So that sets the stage for like this power struggle.
So we've got Lynch wanting to kind of break into this like exciting world of fiber optics, but their control shareholder, Alcatel, has other plans. This sounds like a recipe for conflict.
It is.
What happens next?
Well, Lynch sets their sights on acquiring telco systems for their fiber optic expertise. However, Alcatel, kind of flexing their controlling shareholder muscle here, pushes Lynch towards a merger with Cellwave Systems, their own subsidiary.
Oh, wow.
Talk about a conflict of interest.
So it's not just about acquiring technology, right? It's about who controls that technology and ultimately who controls Lynch.
That's it.
How does Lynch respond to this pressure from Alcatel?
Well, Lynch's board, recognizing this potential conflict, right? They form an independent committee to evaluate the Cellwave proposal, and they actually reject it. So, demonstrating a willingness to stand up to Alcatel, this initial no is crucial. It sets the stage for like the legal battles to come.
This power to say no is fascinating, right?
Right.
It suggests the independent committee actually had some teeth.
Yeah, they weren't just a rubber stamp.
But we know from the intro that Alcatel didn't just back down, did they?
Not at all.
No.
Alcatel withdraws the Cellwave proposal, but then makes this direct play for Lynch, offering to buy all remaining shares for $14 each. Remember, they already own 43.3%. So this is essentially a power grab.
So that's our first price, $14 a share to take full control. Did the independent committee just roll over and accept?
No.
They again pushed back, concluding that the $14 offer undervalues Lynch and its potential. This is where the case really gets interesting because it highlights this inherent tension in these situations.
You have a powerful, controlling shareholder
Pushing for a deal.
pushing for a deal, and an independent committee trying to protect the interests of these minority shareholders.
Absolutely.
Sounds like a classic David versus Goliath scenario.
It really is.
What happens next?
Well, Alcatel, faced with another rejection, right? They up their offer to $15.50 per share. But with a very clear caveat, they essentially say, take this offer or face a hostile takeover at a lower price. Suddenly, the independent committee isn't just evaluating a number, they're weighing this risk of a hostile takeover and potential shareholder lawsuits.
Wow, that changes everything.
It
It's
does.
no longer just about the fairness of the price, right? It's about the pressure, the potential coercion involved in this whole negotiation process. Did the independent committee cave under this pressure?
They ultimately accepted the $15.50 offer. But this is where Delaware's entire fairness doctrine comes into play. This doctrine becomes the central legal battleground in the case.
Okay, let's unpack that. What exactly does entire fairness mean in this context? And how did it impact the outcome of this case?
The entire fairness doctrine has like two prongs. Fair dealing focuses on the process of the deal, ensuring transparency and genuine negotiation. Fair price examines the economic outcome, ensuring minority shareholders received fair value.
Okay.
In this case, the Chancery Court initially sided with Alcatel.
Really?
Putting the burden of proving unfairness on the plaintiff shareholder.
So the initial ruling favored Alcatel, even with that implied threat looming over those negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to contradict this whole notion of fair dealing, doesn't it?
It does. And this is where the Delaware Supreme Court steps in.
Okay.
And they kind of drop this legal bombshell.
Okay.
They overturn the Chancery Court.
Wow.
Stating that the burden of proving entire fairness lies with the controlling shareholder, not the plaintiff.
This completely shifts the playing field.
Completely.
What was the Supreme Court's reasoning for this significant change?
Well, the Supreme Court recognized this inherent power imbalance in this situation.
Right.
They argued that even though the independent committee, like, technically had the power to say no, Alcatel's veiled threat compromised their ability to truly negotiate.
Yeah.
It's like trying to negotiate a fair price with a gun to your head.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they don't explicitly threaten to pull the trigger.
So the Supreme Court is essentially saying, Alcatel, you created a situation where a no wasn't a real option.
Yeah.
You have to prove that this deal and the process that led to it was completely fair.
Yeah, exactly.
This sets a powerful precedent. What happened next?
The case was remanded back to the Chancery Court with this new burden of proof on Alcatel.
Right.
Well, they ultimately won.
Okay.
They had to work much harder to demonstrate fairness. This is where we'll pick up in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
Examining whether they truly met that burden.
Right.
And the implications for future cases. So we left off with the Delaware Supreme Court, right? Shifting that burden of proof onto Alcatel's shoulders.
Right, right.
They now had to prove the entire fairness of the deal.
The whole thing.
Both the process, fair dealing, and the price, fair price.
Right.
This wasn't going to be easy.
No.
Especially given the court's recognition of Alcatel's, coercive tactics.
It's almost like the Supreme Court gave the independent committee a do-over, you know?
Yeah.
Acknowledging that their initial power to say no was like undermined by Alcatel's pressure.
Right.
This raises the question, did the court scrutinize any specific actions by Alcatel when determining if that negotiation process was truly fair?
Absolutely. The Supreme Court meticulously analyzed Alcatel's conduct.
Okay.
Particularly that looming threat of a hostile takeover at a lower price.
Right.
They even used the word coercive to describe it.
Okay.
This sent shockwaves through the corporate world because
It
showed that even subtle forms of pressure could taint the entire fairness of a deal.
So it wasn't just about that final price tag, right?
No.
It was about the atmosphere of the negotiation itself. That's a crucial distinction.
It is.
For our listeners to grasp.
Yeah.
Did the Supreme Court find that Alcatel's actions ultimately tainted the fairness of the whole deal?
This is where it gets nuanced.
Okay.
The court acknowledged that Alcatel's tactics raised some serious concerns.
Right.
But they ultimately concluded that the overall negotiation process was fair, or at least fair enough.
Okay.
They point to the fact that the independent committee had initially rejected offers.
Right.
Showing some backbone, right?
Right.
And that Alcatel did eventually increase their offer.
So the court seemed to be giving some weight to the fact that there was at least some back and forth negotiation.
Some push and pull.
But wouldn't you agree that even with those rejections, the threat of a hostile takeover always loomed large?
It did.
How can we be sure that committee felt truly free to negotiate?
That's a valid point. And it highlights the inherent limitations of independent committees.
Right.
While they can provide a layer of protection, their independence can be fragile.
Yeah.
Especially when facing a determined controlling shareholder.
It's a reminder for our listeners, I think, that simply having an independent committee isn't a magic bullet.
Right.
You have to critically examine their actions, the power dynamics at play,
absolutely,
and the overall context of the negotiation to assess true fairness.
You got it. And this is where meticulous documentation becomes crucial.
Okay.
The more evidence a committee has of their active engagement, independent analysis, and willingness to say no, even if they ultimately accept the deal, the better their position will be if challenged in court.
Document everything. That's a mantra anyone involved in M&A deals should live by.
For sure.
So the court, perhaps reluctantly, gave Alcatel a pass on the fair dealing front. But what about the fair price aspect? Did they scrutinize that $15.50 per share in detail?
Absolutely. The court dug into valuation methods, expert opinions, market evidence.
Wow.
They even factored in the threat premium, the amount by which Alcatel increased their offer to avoid the hostile takeover.
Interesting.
This raises an interesting question. Is a premium paid under duress truly reflective of fair market value?
That's a thought-provoking point.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests that even if a price seems fair on paper,
right,
the context in which it was reached matters.
Right.
What was the court's ultimate conclusion on the fairness of the price?
They upheld the Chancery Court's initial finding that the $15.50 price was fair, considering all the evidence presented. This doesn't mean it was perfect.
Right.
But it fell within, like, a reasonable range.
So the court looked at market comparisons, expert opinions, and even that controversial threat premium to reach their decision. But I imagine some minority shareholders might still feel uneasy knowing that the final price was influenced by Alcatel's pressure tactics.
That's understandable. And it underscores a broader challenge in corporate law. Reconciling a fair price on paper with the reality of, like, complex power dynamics. This leads to an important question for our listeners to consider. Does achieving a fair price automatically equal a fair deal?
That's a question with no easy answers. It forces us to think critically about the interplay of economics, ethics, and the law in these high-stakes situations.
And it highlights the need for ongoing vigilance. Even if a court deems a price fair based on financial analysis, we must question whether it captures the full value of a company, especially in the long term. And we can't ignore the potential chilling effect of coercive tactics on future negotiations.
Alcatel ultimately achieved their goal, buying out Lynch at that $15.15 price. But the Supreme Court's ruling in Conn v. Lynch sent a powerful message. What are the lasting implications of this case for controlling shareholders and independent committees? So we've been really dissecting this Conn v. Lynch case, and it reveals some of the complexities of these mergers that involve, you know, controlling shareholders.
Absolutely.
It's a stark reminder that fairness, right, isn't just about that price tag.
It's not just about the number.
It's about the entire journey to get to that number.
A whole process.
And this case really had, like, a ripple effect, didn't it?
It did.
It went far beyond just the parties that were involved.
Way beyond.
Conn v. Lynch, this became a landmark ruling.
It really did.
It set a precedent that continues to shape how these mergers and acquisitions are handled even today.
Especially with controlling shareholders.
Especially with controlling shareholders.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, I think, how a single case can just reshape the entire landscape of corporate law.
I know, it's pretty amazing.
What specific lessons would you say did Conn v. Lynch teach the corporate world? And how are those lessons still relevant today?
Well, for one, it clarified that burden of proof.
Okay.
Controlling shareholders can't just assume they can dictate the terms of a deal,
right,
even with an independent committee's approval.
Right.
They now have a much higher bar to clear.
Oh, yeah.
They have to demonstrate that entire fairness, both in process and in price.
So it's not enough to just get the paperwork signed.
Nope.
Controlling shareholders really have to, like, proactively demonstrate fairness throughout that entire process.
They do.
This seems to give a lot of power to those independent committees, though.
It does.
Did Conn v. Lynch change how they function in these M&A deals?
Absolutely. The case highlighted that need for, like, genuine independence in these special committees.
Okay.
Their role isn't just to rubber stamp a deal.
Right.
It's to actively scrutinize it.
Yeah.
Negotiate on behalf of the minority shareholders.
Right.
And be willing to walk away if necessary.
Oh, wow. So this means a truly independent committee.
Yeah.
Needs resources.
Yes.
Expertise. And a spine of steel.
For sure.
To stand up to all that pressure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, knowing that the courts will be scrutinizing their actions likely emboldens them to kind of ask tougher questions and push back even harder.
Exactly. They have the backing of the courts in a way.
Right.
Yeah.
Conn v. Lynch also underscored, I think, the importance of meticulous documentation.
Oh, for sure.
Every interaction.
Everything.
Every analysis, every rejection, it all needs to be recorded.
Paper trail.
This creates a paper trail, right?
Yeah.
That demonstrates the committee's active engagement and independent judgment.
Yes.
This is crucial if the deal's ever challenged.
Absolutely crucial.
So it's like creating a shield.
A shield of documentation.
Yeah, of documentation to defend against future accusations of unfairness.
It's like armor.
Yeah. This seems especially crucial in a world where he said, she said, often dominates, you know, corporate disputes.
It does. It's all about the evidence.
Right. You got to have that proof.
You got to have that proof.
Yeah.
This case, honestly, is a goldmine of insights.
It is.
If you had to pick one key takeaway for our listeners, what would it be?
Process matters.
Process matters.
It's the most profound lesson, I think.
It's not just about, like, ticking boxes and arriving at a fair price, right?
Right.
It's about ensuring every step that leads to that price is conducted fairly, transparently, and with genuine negotiation.
I think that's right.
That principle applies far beyond just these mergers and acquisitions.
It's a universal principle.
It is.
Whether you're negotiating a contract or resolving a dispute.
Right.
Making decisions in any collaborative setting, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The process by which you reach the outcome
right.
is just as important as the outcome itself.
Convey Lynch reminds us that even in these complex financial transactions, right?
Yeah. Involving these sophisticated parties, fairness and transparency are just paramount.
They are.
It's about upholding the integrity of the market and ensuring that all stakeholders, especially those minority shareholders, are treated equitably.
That's it.
So we've unpacked the specifics of this case.
Yeah.
We talked about the legal precedents it set and the broader implications for corporate law as we kind of wrap up our deep dive into Convey Lynch.
Okay.
What's one final thought, something our listeners can kind of ponder on their own?
Well, Convey Lynch, while groundbreaking, I don't think it solved all the problems.
Right.
It raises a big question for me.
Yeah.
In a world where these controlling shareholders hold so much power,
yeah.
what additional safeguards
yeah.
can we put in place to really, truly protect those minority shareholders?
That's a good question.
Do we need stronger penalties for coercive tactics, more robust disclosure requirements?
Yeah.
These are conversations that deserve our continued attention and thoughtful debate.
What a fantastic point to end on.
Thank you.
Convey Lynch, this is more than a case study.
It is.
It's really a call to action, I think.
I agree.
It challenges us to think critically about how the law should evolve to ensure fairness and transparency in this ever-changing landscape of corporate governance.
Very well said.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
And on that thought-provoking note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into Convey Lynch. We hope you found this exploration insightful, engaging, and that it sparks further discussions and deeper analysis in your own work.
I hope so.
Thanks for joining us. Mm.